What kind of money do people use on the moon?
I know what!
Starbucks.
It's time for the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth. I believe the moon.
1961, John F. Kennedy made a speech, said he believed that we would be the first country to land upon the moon. He wondered in his room, what would I do if I were on the moon? What would I do if I were on the moon? Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, and Michael Collins, too, were the first three astronauts to land upon the moon. Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, and Michael Collins, too, were the first three astronauts to land upon the moon. Did they jump, 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 jump? Did they dance, 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 dance? Collect rocks and data, go camping on the lunar module.
And this certainly has to be the most historic telephone call ever made from the White House. Because of what you have done, the heavens have become a part of man's work.
1969, one giant leap for all mankind. Apollo 11, a crew of three, landed in the Sea of Tranquility. They stepped outside in their spacesuits, jumped around in their space boots. What would you do if you were on the moon? What would you do if you were on the moon? Would you jump, 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 jump? Would you dance, 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 dance? Collect rocks and data, go camping on the lunar module. Jump, 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 jump. Would you dance, 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 dance? Collect rocks and data, go camping on the lunar module.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
That was Moon Landing by Turtle Dance Music from their Space album. You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. I'm here at the Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque, New Mexico, with a whole lot of kids and on Zoom. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
And who do we have with us today?
Hi, it's Nina.
Hi, it's Lucas D.
Hi, it's Kybia.
Hi, it's Joe.
Hi, it's Daniel.
Hi, it's Amaya.
Well, you all, thank you for being here. Today on the show, we're going to touch the moon. Literally, we have moon samples here at the Outpost that we get to touch. And I assume we have a lot of moon fans on the Children's Hour.
The moon's super cool. Yep.
You know, without the moon, we might not even be able to have life on Earth. There are many people studying the moon in many different ways. First, we're going to hear from Dr. Phil Plait. He's known as the bad astronomer, and he's going to explain to us how the moon was formed. And then we're going to be meeting the commander of the Artemis II project. That's NASA's mission to go back to the moon. His name is Reid Weissman, and he's going to join us in just a few minutes. And then we're going to meet someone else who actually gets to touch the samples of soil and rocks that come back from the moon. His name is Dr. Chip Shearer, and he's going to even let us handle little pieces of the moon that he found right here on Earth.
That's pretty fascinating.
There's a lot more to learn on the Children's Hour. We're so glad you're with us. This episode comes with a learning guide. You can find it at childrenshour.org. Look for the moon. We're going to play some Billy Kelly and then get right with Dr. Phil Plait. You're listening to the Children's Hour.
Earth's lone satellite, the moon, moon, moon appears both day and night. The moon, moon, moon reflects the sun's light, and so the moon appears to shine quite bright. That may be so, but really all I want to know is why the the ocean. ocean tides. The moon does not have a dark side. Moon is visible worldwide. So there is no place that I can hide that may be so. Really all I want to know is why.
Billy Kelly off his Family Garden release. Welcome back to the Children's Hour. Today, we're blasting off together to the moon.
Houston, Roger, we copy and we're standing by for your TV.
But how did it get there to begin with? We thought we'd ask expert Dr. Phil Plait, who has a PhD in astronomy. He's also known as the Bad Astronomer. He's been featured on CNN, PBS, and many other media outlets, and he writes, thinks, and teaches all about space. And he told us that for a long time, how the moon came to be was a big mystery.
Then, in the 1960s and 70s, after the Apollo missions brought back samples from the moon, we started to get an idea that maybe the moon formed from a gigantic impact. The idea is a small planet, the size of Mars, a third or half the size of the Earth, something like that, slammed into our planet not long after it formed, and that threw out a ton of debris, millions, billions, trillions of tons of debris into space, and that this stuff coalesced and formed the moon.
About what time do scientists predict that this collision between the planet and our planet happened?
The collision with Theia probably happened really soon after the Earth formed, probably not more than about 100 million years. And 100 million years sounds like a long time to us, right? But the Earth is 4.5 billion years old. It's much, much, much older than that. So we're talking about an event that happened when the Earth was still extremely young.
Well, planetary scientists come up with ideas on how the moon was formed. It's hard to know sometimes if they're right or not. So how do you test something on such a big scale or on something that happened billions of years ago?
We understand a lot of physics now, and there are equations, mathematics, that we can use to apply to this physics. So, for example, there's this idea that maybe one day, billions of years ago, the Earth was spinning really, really fast, so fast that it flung away material, and that's what formed the moon. And it turns out that doesn't work. And we know it doesn't work because it's hard to get the Earth spinning that fast. If it flings away material, it's hard for that material to merge together and form the moon. You would expect the moon to be made of different things than it is. And you can use sort of basic physics to understand it, and you can use observations. We have been to the moon. We have brought back rocks. We have tested these rocks in the lab. We know what they're made of. We still understand enough science to be able to test these ideas and figure out whether they're wrong or maybe right. You never know if something's exactly right. There's always a lot of other stuff influencing it. But you can at least say, this isn't wrong, and that's actually important.
That's Dr. Phil Plait, the Bad Astronomer. You can find links to his videos and newsletter on our website, childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, The Moon.
Ready? Well, we're going to the moon in a red balloon. in a red balloon, straight up to the moon. If we're going to the moon, then we better leave soon. Do you want to come too? Say yes if you do. Then we'll drive to the stars in a brand new car, in a brand new car, all the way to the stars. We'll have to drive far all the way to the stars in a brand new car. Yes, we're going to the stars. We're going to the zoo in a little canoe, just me and you in a little canoe. Paddle down to the zoo in a little canoe. Do you want to come too? Say yes if you do. Then we're going to Spain on a big airplane, on a big airplane. Fly all the way to Spain. It's a mighty long flight, gonna take us all night. Then we'll land in Spain on a big airplane. Any place you want to go, just let me know. I want to come too, just me and you. When I'm with you, any place will do. Any place you want to go, just let me know. We're going to the moon,
going to the moon,
in a red balloon,
in a red balloon,
in a red balloon,
in a red balloon,
straight up to the moon. If we're going to the moon, then we better leave soon. Do you want to
come too?
Say yes if you do.
Say yes if you do.
Do you want to come too? Say yes if you do.
Say yes if you do.
Do you want to come too? Say yes if you do.
That was Key Wilde and Mr. Clark with Going to the Moon from their Rise and Shine album. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and today on the show, we're joined by Commander Reed Wiseman. He's the commander of NASA's Artemis II, and he is an astronaut. Welcome to the Children's Hour.
Thank you. It is great to be here. I love seeing these smiling faces.
We're so happy you're with us, and we have a lot of questions for you, but let me start at the very beginning. What is Artemis II?
Artemis II is going to be the first time in a little over 50 years that we have sent humans out to the moon. We are going to launch out of Kennedy Space Center in Florida on the Space Launch System, and we will be in the Orion spacecraft. It's all NASA spacecraft. And we will spend about one day in Earth orbit. And then if everything is looking really good on our spaceship, Mission Control Houston will give us a go for translunar injection, and we will fire our thrusters and head out to the moon. 250,000-mile journey out and around the moon, and then we will come back. And that entire trip only takes about a little over nine days. And this is the first crewed mission of the Orion spacecraft, and we are trying to pave the way for our coworkers to land on the moon and work in the lunar environment for the next, hopefully, several decades.
How did you become an astronaut?
There are many different ways, especially in 2024, to become an astronaut. I personally went to college and got a degree in engineering, and then I joined the United States Navy and was a pilot and test pilot, and then came to NASA through that route. But if I look at our astronaut corps today, we have medical doctors, we have school teachers, we have engineers, we have scientists, we have geologists, we even have a veterinarian. There are many different disciplines that we want to be astronauts because we want a slice of America, a slice of every technical field that we have in the US to make a strong astronaut corps.
What was it like when you learned that you were going to be leading this mission?
To me, it's we say the phrase humbling a lot, but really when I learned who I was going to be flying with, I was extremely excited. I'm going with Victor Glover, Christina Cook, and Jeremy Hansen, who not only are they all very close friends of mine, I also know that they are the finest astronauts I've ever met. Victor was a pilot like myself. Christina was an electrical engineer. She loves to surf. Jeremy Hansen and I got selected in the same year. We were in the same class of astronaut school. So just getting a chance to fly with these three people for me is an honor. And then it's also important to note that this is the first time in 50 years that we're going back to the moon. Artemis II is a global effort, and getting to be kind of the leading edge of that to make these folks who have worked on this vehicle, to make their dreams come true, that is really quite an awesome experience for us.
What are you most excited about to see come from this mission?
By far, the thing that our crew is most excited to see come from this mission is humans working on the surface of the moon, to see Americans back on the lunar surface, but to me, even more importantly, to see international partners working together with us on the lunar surface, and to see this architecture really start to pave the way for humans exploring throughout the solar system is what I most hope to see from this mission.
That's so exciting. Would you want to be exploring the solar system?
Well, I've spent 165 days living on the International Space Station. So I feel like I've already spent some time away from Earth, and it was the view of the Earth. It's just magnificent. To get a chance to fly to the moon or to fly out to Mars or to me personally, the moons of Saturn and Jupiter, that is the crown jewel of our solar system beyond the Earth. And to get a chance to do that, probably not in my lifetime, but in the lifetime of your participants here, to me, that would be the end all.
That's Commander Reed Weissman from the Artemis II mission to the moon. We've got more with him coming right up. This is Moxie Fruvis right here on the Children's Hour.
Orbiting Rondell. You will go to the moon. You'll probably be heading there soon. Someday flowers will grow there, but first you gotta go there. Oh, you will go to the moon. Ah, you will live in the stars. Your backyard will probably be Mars. You will ride a freighter scooter and eat off your computer. Oh, you will live in the stars. Your stellar smile will always beam, knowing you're home and home to stay. And you'll look down upon the earth and say, I can't believe we ever lived that way. You will go to the moon. There's plans for a hotel and a lagoon. You'll be savoring a star fruit and kicking off your moon boot. Oh, you will go to the moon. Yeah, you will go to the moon. A paradise to rival Cancun. And one side's always sunny, you'll be raking in the money. Oh, you'll get paid on the moon. It's been our most abiding dream, and a dream is an easy sell. And when the tourists come in droves, you'll be the big cheese on that orbiting rondelle. You will go to the moon. Daring pioneers will call the tune. Take it home. Someday flowers will grow there, but first you gotta go there. Now you will go to the moon. I'm gonna tell you, you will go to the moon. One more, you will go to the moon.
Food in the moon.
Yeah!
You're listening to the Children's Hour Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs supports the Children's Hour. Celebrate the diverse cultural communities of New Mexico at nmculture.org. Keep up with the Children's Hour and sign up for our monthly newsletter at childrenshour.org.
I like all of the podcasts because they help me learn a lot. I'm Brooklyn Elder from Albuquerque.
Find hundreds of educational podcasts at childrenshour.org or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Look for The Children's Hour.